The Word of God from 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we want people to know what we claim to believe, and this from the letter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We want you to know, here at Daleville Christian Church, that life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. And what we are learning this season before Easter is that life with Jesus continues forever. Life without Jesus also continues forever in a very terrible way. When life is over, you don't then get to decide whether you want to live with Jesus or not. In death, the question doesn't come up. The question of following the light only comes up in this life. We determined to talk this season before Easter about hell. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus talked about hell more than anyone in the entire New Testament. As a matter of fact, in all the gospel books, who even brings up the topic of hell? Only one person brings up the topic of hell. It's Jesus. And words are important here. I don't think that Jesus assigned or consigned people to hell. Jesus asked questions. Jesus issued warnings. Jesus was concerned that people were going to perish. The New Testament uses the word perish over 30 times. The word perish, as in the quote from Jesus when Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish." The word perish has a few similar meanings: destroy, kill, lose, or be lost, be ruined, die, pass away. Jesus doesn't want those things to happen to us. Why? Because that is what will happen to us. We will perish if we keep following our own path. Jesus said, "Follow me." This was Jesus' invitation to the first disciples. Follow me. Last time we looked briefly at a man who appeared very far from the light of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at two people. One of them, or a few of them, also were very far from the light of God in Jesus Christ. The other person was walking in the light of Jesus Christ, but they were a victim of the people who were not walking in the light of Jesus Christ. What we discover is that the people causing the hellish conditions for their victim to live in hellish conditions, those people were also living in hellish conditions, although they barely knew it. But no one has to live in hellish conditions forever. Jesus came so that no one would have to perish. So let's hear about that. As I mentioned last time, we looked at an example of a man who apparently was not following Jesus. He seemed to want to be far from God. It was in the news, March 3rd of this year. He was a teacher caught having sex with an underage student, a student in his school. That man ruined his marriage, his career, brought shame to his family, he has two young girls, brought shame to his school and his community. Even people who don't know this man are angry with him. I was suggesting that the man is perishing. I didn't say that he was going to hell because the story isn't over yet. The news story was from March 3rd. Things could have changed dramatically since then. But I do believe that this man is one that Jesus would be concerned about. Jesus knew that the man doesn't have to perish, but he gave every indication of being on a path away from God. When anyone leaves the presence of the Heavenly Father, things do not go well with them. And I want to say with that topic, and I want to stay with that topic for a little bit. I want to stay on that topic because people today, just as in Jesus' day, are not convinced that being away from God is all that bad a thing. But hey, I'm a pastor. I believe that being away from the Heavenly Father is a bad thing. Jesus thought so. Unless you repent, that is, unless you turn away from where you are going and return to the Heavenly Father, you will all likewise perish. There's that word again, and those are Jesus' words. I've noticed, and maybe you've also noticed, there are many, many programs on television about criminals and people doing bad things. Sometimes the program is about catching people who have committed crimes. The program Cops is the most obvious program. This program has been on television since 1989. Cops is in its 26th season. Just this season, it moved from the Fox network to Spike TV. The program is still on television, and now you can watch it in reruns in addition to the program itself, which is still in production. And it isn't the only program on crime and criminals. There are investigation programs. My niece is particularly fond of one of those. CBS has 48 Hours that became 48 Hours Investigates, and now 48 Hours Mystery. Now there's a program entitled 48 Hours Live to Tell, and that's just CBS's version. There are others. Often the crimes are not solved, or there are real questions about the guilt or innocence of the alleged criminal. Even as some of us watch news media, we are concerned that criminals and wrongdoers might get away with their crimes. I'm here to suggest that anyone who is moving away from the Heavenly Father is on a tough road. I'm suggesting that it is very rare for people to actually get away with their crimes, even if they are never caught. Some of these criminals we know most about are the criminals who have had to go into hiding. One law enforcement officer said of one criminal in hiding, "I want him to go to bed every night wondering if he will be caught." Well, that's a heck of a way to go through life. I believe that very few criminals ever get off scot-free. I believe that criminals suffer for their crimes, whether they are caught or not. Sometimes they die in the continuation of their crimes. Think of people involved in drug dealing. Many die, rightly or wrongly, in the activity of their criminal lives. A trial might have been kinder to some of these people, but they wound up dead and alone. A recent old murder case has been in the Muncie news. Come to find out, one of those convicted died years ago in prison. Some criminals, when discovered through new research, come to find out they're already in prison for another crime. One famous Indianapolis case where a bomb went off, the person who planted the bomb actually took his own life 2 days after the bomb went off. Obviously, he was never found, convicted, or brought to trial. He also never lived in peace before or after the bombing. We usually remember famous cases like Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein living in caves, living in a spider hole. From what I see, that is often what life is like for those who so dramatically move away from the Heavenly Father. And whether at extremes or not, I have trouble believing that anyone is off scot-free. There's a famous Christian whose own work convinced me that moving away from God is bad for you. Her name was Corrie ten Boom. Perhaps you know her story. As a child, she was taken to prison by the authorities because her family were helping Jews escape the Nazis of Europe during World War II. Corrie Ten Boom's books are in our church library. Corrie's family were all Christians. Corrie was eventually sent to a German concentration camp. Her sister died there. Corrie Ten Boom also lost her father, her nephew, and her brother, because they, like Corrie, were in the hands of the Nazis. Corrie survived the camp and the war. Corrie realized her life was a gift from God, and she needed to share what she and her sister had learned in the camps. And this is what they learned. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. That is true for victims of crimes. It is also true for perpetrators of crimes. At age 53, Corrie began a worldwide ministry that took her into more than 60 countries in the next 32 years. She testified to God's love and encouraged all she met with the message that Jesus is victor. One of Corrie Ten Boom's other ministries was helping other people who survived the camps. And Corrie Ten Boom also worked to help those who had worked with the Nazis. Remarkably, she sheltered Dutch citizens who during the war had collaborated with the Nazis. For you see, after the war, the people who had worked with the Germans were generally shunned, unable to find jobs, food, and housing. And so Corrie ran rehabilitation centers, both for the victims and for those who had helped the Nazis. Corrie realized that those who participated in the crimes of the Nazis needed help too. After the war, Corrie herself faced one of her own cruel guards from the camp. When Corrie Ten Boom had a chance to talk with one of the judges during her own trial, the man confessed that he knew a darkness that Corrie could only imagine. I'll just read Corrie's story to you. She wrote, "I will never forget the moment when I was brought before my judge. I knew that not only my own life was in his hands, but that I could incriminate many friends and co-workers. If I were forced to tell about them, it could mean their death sentence, too. I prayed for wisdom to answer all the questions of the interrogator, and there were many questions. I had to give my whole life history, even what I did in my spare time. I told him that I taught a Bible class for feeble-minded people who could not go to church because they could not understand the sermons. They need the Lord Jesus just as much as you and I do, I said to this National Socialist judge. He replied, "What a waste of time. Isn't there far more value in converting a normal person than an abnormal one?" My answer was, "If you knew Jesus, you would know that he has a great love for everyone who is despised or in need. It is possible that a poor, feeble-minded child has more value in his eyes than you and I together." The judge was angry when I said that, and he called the policeman, saying, "Take her back to her cell." The next day I was brought again before my judge, who said, "I could not sleep during the night. I was thinking over what you had said about Jesus. I don't know anything about him. We have plenty of time for the interrogation. First, tell me what you know about Jesus." Corrie said, "What an opportunity. I began, 'Jesus is a light who has come into this world. No one who believes in him remains in darkness.' Is there darkness in your life?" The judge's answer was, "Darkness? There is no light at all in my life." The judge said, "A man whom you and I would know in his community was respected, revered, probably liked." He said, "There is no light at all in my life. I hate my work," he said. "My wife is in Bremen. I don't even know if she's still alive. The town is being bombed heavily every night. It's possible that she was killed." Corrie wrote, "Suddenly the contact between us was on a totally different level. He was no longer the judge, but simply a man in great need, and I, his prisoner, could give him real encouragement as I brought him the gospel. I said to him, Jesus once said, come to me all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me all. That means you too. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Tell him your sins. He has never sent away any sinner. I had a good talk with that man, and from then on he was no longer my enemy, but my friend. He helped to save my life, and he did his utmost, though unsuccessfully, to set me free. Of course, he still had to do his job, and so he showed me papers found in my house. To my horror, I saw names, addresses, and particulars which could mean not only my death sentence, but the death of my family and my friends as well. Can you explain these papers? He asked. No, I cannot. I felt miserable. You will say, perhaps, why did you have such dangerous papers in your house? Well, in our underground efforts to save Jewish people, I worked with many young people who did remarkably courageous work, but they were not always careful, and so these papers were found in my house. The judge knew even better than I how dangerous those papers were, and suddenly he turned around, opened the door of the stove, and threw all the papers into the stove. It was at that moment, it was as if I understood for the first time the Bible in Colossians chapter 2. God has now made you to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. In heaven, there are dangerous papers for us all, Corrie ten Boom adds. In heaven, there are dangerous papers for us all. And whether we believe it or not, we will have to come before the judgment seat of God. And if we have refused Jesus Christ in this life, then the judgment day will be terrible. But if we have received Jesus as our Savior and Lord, then we have nothing to fear because Jesus nailed these terrible papers to the cross when he died for the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine. That is what I understood when I saw those papers destroyed by the flames in that stove. This is all to say that there are extreme examples of people running from God, people who live in darkness. And Jesus wants to save those people also. Corrie ten Boom knew that. Jesus' own story about the father with two sons says it so well. You don't have to have run away from the father to be welcomed back into his home. Even if you never left the Heavenly Father's presence, your heart can be far from the father. There was the one son who would not celebrate his brother's return. That son did not yet have his father's heart for his own. But he was offered to join the party, to let forgiveness flow, just as forgiveness flows from the Heavenly Father's heart because of the work of Jesus, just as Corrie ten Boom knew it to be true. Whether you are running far away or staying near the house, whether you commit evil or you're the victim of evil, healing is available in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to take away all of our sins. Amen.